If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have done it? The lectionary calendar of scripture readings for this Sunday offers us this fascinating story of an Old Testament Hebrew scriptures healing event. And like related Bible stories, a person with some form of skin disease wants to be cleansed from his illness. And as in all such stories, it's the way people ask for healing, or the way they are healed, or the way they respond to being healed that is recounted for us to ponder centuries later. In the story of Naaman, who traveled from Damascus in what is now Syria, traveled from there to the northern kingdom of Israel to ask Elisha for healing, I was especially aware of his cranky reaction to what the wise prophet told him to do in order to obtain the healing he sought. You noticed that, right? Though Naaman had been a successful leader of armies while suffering from his disease, and although his sort of leprosy was not the kind that required him, as the law did in other forms of the illness, to separate himself entirely from other people, when he heard from his wife's servant that healing was possible from the king's prophet Elisha in Israel, he went forth with confidence and with a letter of introduction from his own king, even though that king of northern Israel had been a foe in battles not long before. So, as you heard, when the king of Israel received the letter, he was distraught, he was suspicious. In shock and dismay, he tore his clothing, apparently that was a tradition too, and protested loudly, "Am I God that this man sends word to me to cure this man?" So Elisha the prophet, as he often did, stepped in to reassure the king and take the problem off his hands. "Send him to me, then he'll learn there's a prophet in Israel." Now, Naaman thought very highly of himself, and he expected to be treated by Elisha with the very greatest regard. But the prophet only sent a messenger with instructions to follow in order to be healed. Simple instructions: go wash in the river Jordan, which apparently is a very muddy and dirty river in Israel at the time. Go wash in the river Jordan 7 times. And you will be healed. But Naaman expected something more elaborate to accomplish that change for which he asked, something more fitting for someone as important as he was. This way of being healed, well, it wasn't fancy enough. No special ceremony, no hand waving, no special words, not even the right river. It took a lot of persuading before Naaman could hear the words of his servants and consent to trying the simple way of healing which the wise prophet Elisha had commanded. If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? They pleaded with him, for they knew how much his disease concerned him. And Naaman was cured once he allowed healing to occur in a way other than that which he had imagined or expected. Helped to break through his initial resistance, he was restored to health and was extremely grateful and far more humble afterwards. Do you recognize, as I do, Naaman's reluctance to do something easy in order that he might be healed? Have you experienced such reluctance to do the straightforward, practical, time-proven, inexpensive, not very fancy or elaborate recommendations of your healthcare providers, for example, your dentist, your therapist? Do you, honestly, I can't count the times I've resisted prescriptions for getting more sleep, eating healthy meals, taking a daily walk, remembering my vitamins, using the water pick for my teeth. taking time for daily meditation and quiet, writing in my journal, all prescriptions for good physical and emotional self-care. What more do most of us need for improving our health, body, mind, and spirit, for taking good care of our God-given self? At least some of the time, that's the case. Let me tell you a story. My dad was a doctor, an early medical researcher in the field of kidney dialysis in the 1950s and early 60s. But before that, he was a medical officer in the U.S. Army Air Corps, and before that, a Harvard Medical School graduate whose working class parents were employed at the watch company in Waltham, Massachusetts, and who lived at home during his years of college and graduate school at Harvard. So just before the war, he did his internship at Mary Hitchcock Hospital in Hanover, New Hampshire, and continued his career afterwards, but before the war, as one of the first college health service physicians at Dartmouth College in the 1930s. When I reflect on the story we heard today about Naaman's reluctance to follow the prophet Elijah's straightforward and simple instructions, I always think of the story my dad used to tell about his time at the New College Infirmary, Dick's House, if you know Hanover. Sometime in October, about 6 weeks into the fall semester, a freshman boy, they were all boys then at Dartmouth, would make his way to Dr. Mack's office seeking health care. He didn't feel good. His head ached. His stomach hurt. He couldn't concentrate in class. He was having trouble sleeping. He had no energy. And my dad would listen carefully to the student's list of complaints and concerns until the young student stopped talking and seemed to be waiting for dad's magic cure to be grandly announced. But dad didn't have a magic cure for that student's ills. Instead, he said, "Here's what I want you to do. Go back to your dorm room and take a nap. And if you can't fall asleep, that's okay. Just put your feet up. Be sure to get up, though, in time for supper and eat a good meal. Call your mother. Read and study, but then go to bed early. Get up in the morning well before class. Eat a full breakfast. Go for a walk down around the pond. Go to class. Eat your lunch. Study and rest. And keep on doing that every day. If you don't feel better in a week, come back and see me." Skeptical and seemingly disappointed, that student would head out the door, but rarely, if ever, would come back in a week with further complaints. And when the student, and there were many, happened to meet dad on campus or down street in Hanover, those students always took time to thank him for his advice, admitting their reluctance at first to have followed it. My dad. Why our resistance to healing the simple way? Psychologists, I think, could outline many reasons for such resistance to taking the obvious, uncomplicated routes to healing. Sometimes it's about arrogance, such as that pride Naaman exhibited in the story. My dad thought it was like that for some of the very privileged Dartmouth students at the time. But often our resistance is about being used to who we are and who we have been and our reluctance to making the adjustments that being healed might mean. Or sometimes it's just that the folks around us might struggle with what such healing could or would mean to them. No matter how easy the steps to achieve it might be, if you wonder how people are going to react to you taking those steps. Another story. Years ago, when I was employed by Adult Basic Education, now Vermont Adult Learning, as a home tutor in Addison County, our staff worked with many rural Vermonters, men and women who had struggled with basic reading basic writing and math throughout their whole adult life. At some point, we actually made a film that documented the journey of one person from that time he began working with his literacy teacher until he could manage basic skills all on his own. His story was inspiring, as you might imagine, but there were unforeseen consequences too. Once he discovered that a teacher might be available to him through the program, he was eager to get started, and he worked hard and he made a lot of progress. Soon he could read road signs, write notes about his work, order new meals at the local restaurant, make out correspondence that came in the mail, that sort of thing. Since much of his interaction with his tutor was filmed, we soon began to notice, as we watched parts of the film, his wife's role in the process. Throughout each lesson, she sat nearby in her rocking chair, knitting and frowning. Early on, she'd tried to answer each question the tutor had asked her husband. But soon it had been politely suggested that she let her husband answer for himself. So she kept knitting and frowning week after week. She didn't want to stop helping her husband, the simple thing that had been asked of her. Not so simple. She got more and more upset about having to do that as she saw her husband keep learning and changing. Her reluctance was painful to watch as she got caught between doing what she knew would be wonderful for her husband and what she suspected would change her whole role in life forever. No longer the family reader of signs on road trips, no longer the interpreter of menus, the record keeper for the family business, the reader of mail when it came. What would her new role be? She didn't want to do the simple task of backing off because how everything would be different for her and for them. And she finally talked about all that on camera, and we all had to think about what might happen in a family if the non-reader begins to read and the helper no longer needs to help. Sometimes it's a form of potential embarrassment that holds us back from taking easy steps to healing. Like, will we be able to deal with giving in to someone who's been giving us good advice for a while? Who we think is bound to say, "I told you so," when we follow their advice at last, and it actually works. Some of you were here last November when I was here, I think it was. I just started an exercise class over in Winooski 3 times a week. I'd put off exercising most of my life, being the kind of gym class student who would duck every time the ball came over the net or, you know, like that. I resisted because I didn't want to be seen as a senior in the senior exercise class. Does that ring bells with anybody? Okay. I was really glad that they didn't call it that. They called it enhanced fitness. So that was a little bit better, but I was really worried about going to a senior exercise class. And what about all the people that had been trying to get me to do that for many years? But now I love it. Now I keep going back. The story of Naaman, which we heard today, is instructive about the importance of getting past those resistances as individuals, whatever they may be, and trusting God to help us and to heal us, even in ways that might seem too simple to try out. As we seek to learn from the story we heard this morning, as we make it our own, as we return to it again and again, and as Father Wayne said, as we think about it when we drive home and when we're at home, may our resistances to God's leading, to God's mercy, to God's healing be eased our willingness strengthened, that we may live the life which God intends for us, each one of us, as healthy and whole as possible, that we may most effectively serve others in Jesus' name and with the help of the Spirit. Amen.